Welcome to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. What a fabulous day it is today to take your dog for a nice long walk, perhaps by the water or in the woods. I always like to recommend to people to take their dog somewhere new. Because a lot of times, you know, even if dogs are getting out for their exercise that they need, you know, a good hour plus walk a day. But, you know, you kind of end up, and I do this, kind of go to your same places, and they love it. But it's always nice to take them somewhere new. New smells, especially. New sights. All that type of stuff. Different kind of stimuli.
New areas to mark.
New areas to mark. Exactly.
That was a thing with my dog when I was growing up, that he just loved to mark his territory everywhere.
Yes.
So if we went somewhere new, it was like, oh,
what an opportunity.
Exactly.
Yeah. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing well, yeah.
Good.
As you say, it's a beautiful day to take your dog for a walk.
It is. It's nice. It's not too hot, not too cold.
That's right.
So later, starting in the second segment, we have on Kim Sill today with D-Cup Saving Teacups, a very wonderful organization based down in California. They do really great rescue work with a lot of work around puppy mills and education around that. And
I was just going to say, I just took a sip from my teacup, so apparently it's working.
Now you're just missing half of the equation now.
Right. But when you say D-cup saving teacups, teacups are the poodles, is that right?
Well, there's teacups is sort of like a category of dog, I guess, very little.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess it's not always totally obvious at first for people, although it was for me. I was like, oh, that's great,
well,
dogs.
Well, sure, because you're...
Well, it's always on my mind.
You're all about dogs.
Yeah. But yeah, so D-cups, it's an all-women... Or women run organization.
I got that part.
And then teacups, saving teacups.
Because that's always on my mind.
Right.
Like the dogs for you.
Right. So the teacups part is actually in reference to like teacup dogs.
I see.
Although they don't, it's not exclusively. They work with, I think, all different types of breeds.
Now, is there a type of poodle that's called a teacup, or am I just imagining
there is.
That?
There
oh, okay.
Is. Yep. Yep. Tiny, tiny.
Okay, very good.
Like it could fit into a teacup,
but,
I think is the thinking.
But that applies to other dogs.
I think so,
small,
yeah.
Then they're also called teacups.
Yeah, although let's ask her.
Okay.
Yeah.
She'll be the expert.
Yes. So she'll be on in just a few minutes at the beginning of the second segment. We'll bring her on. Before we get going with that, though, want to just let you know about some events that are coming up. I have a lot of great stuff. Issaquah Salmon Days is October 4th and 5th in Issaquah, Washington, which is just east of Seattle. And it's a two-day event, 10 to 6 both days. And Puget Sound Dock Dogs will be there. It's sort of a sport called dock diving. And Dock Dogs is a national organization. Puget Sound Dock Dogs is the local chapter, and they are doing an event at Issaquah Salmon Days, and they have dogs that run on a long, like a 40-foot dock, and jump into a pool of water that they bring in and fill up. It's a gigantic pool of water, probably about 40 feet long as well, and they have a few different events where they judge the dogs based off of how far they've jumped or how high they've jumped, and I will be emceeing for them for this event, and it's such a blast. So do come by and say hi to us. Issaquah Salmon Days, October 4th and 5th. Also, October 23rd, I'm giving a talk at Natural Pet Pantry called The Art of Nonverbal Communication with Your Dog. So over the past 12 years, I've been working in the Seattle area doing dog training and behavior consultations, working with both dogs and their people. And I've learned a lot. The dogs have taught me a lot, and my clients have taught me a lot. And one of the things that I love the most about the work that I do is really bridging the human and the dog in communication. And dogs being nonverbal creatures, in order for us to learn how to effectively communicate with our dogs, we have to learn and be really keenly aware of our nonverbal communication. And well, what does all that mean? Because it's more than just how you hold your shoulders. There's actually a lot to it. It brings up a lot of opportunity for some really interesting conversation. And I'm giving a talk about this on October 23rd at the Natural Pet Pantry in Kirkland. It will be Thursday night, 7 p.m. Do RSVP. If you'd like to attend, you can email Randy at naturalpetpantry.com. That's R-A-N-D-I at naturalpetpantry.com. This is a free talk, but we do ask that you RSVP because there is a limited amount of space, and that way you'll be sure to have your seat reserved. So again, that's Thursday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. at the Natural Pet Pantry in Kirkland in their lovely space. I'm giving a talk, The Art of Nonverbal Communication with Your Dog. To RSVP and reserve your spot, it's Randy, R-A-N-D-I, at naturalpetpantry.com, or you can call the store, 425-739-4738. And then last but certainly not least, November 22nd is our, actually November 19th, Wednesday, is the dog show with Julie Forbes 300th episode, which is awesome. I can't believe it. I can believe it, but it's definitely a milestone. So we are having a big party to celebrate that November 22nd, which is Saturday, also at the Natural Pet Pantry's wonderful space in Kirkland. It's in the same shopping center as PCC in Kirkland. There's plenty of parking. There's going to be lots of space in there. We're going to have a DJ. We're going to have food and wine and all sorts of great giveaways. And the theme is really fan appreciation. So there's going to be a lot of my friends, family, clients, colleagues, a lot of people from the local industry. And I really hope that a lot of fans who just listen to the show come and celebrate the show. Definitely theme fan appreciation. So if you're listening to the show, you're invited. So please do come. And that is, again, November 22nd, Saturday. So mark your calendar for that. More details to come there, too. All right. We are going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Kim Sill, founder of D Cup Saving Teacups. You're listening to The Dog Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Hey Dog Show fans, does something stink in your home or car? Pure Air is a powerful odor eliminator that is the only natural food-grade product in its category. It works on bedding, kennels, litter boxes, urine, vomit, poop, even skunk spray. You know, all the fun smells our pets bring into our home. It's so non-toxic that you can literally eat it, a requirement for our home and our dogs. Spray Pure Air on anything you can put water on and let your nose watch the odor disappear. Ask for Pure Air in stores that specialize in natural, non-toxic products for home. Or visit dogradioshow.com for a link to their website. I'm Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show. Pure Air is the only odor eliminator you'll find in my home. You'll love it.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, October 5th, our favorites, adventure travelers Helen and Bill Thayer. They've traveled the world on unbelievable journeys. Helen's written three great books and soon will release number four. She's created the Adventure Classroom, motivating and educating our kids, and this time they've asked to bring along a special guest. Join us to find out who, Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering eight different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their two stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. We are back with Kim Sill, founder of D Cup Saving Teacups, a California-based rescue group. Hi, Kim.
Hey, how are you?
Wonderful. I'm so happy to have you on the show.
And I am so glad to be here.
Good. This is one of the reasons why I love doing what I do, because I get to meet so many fabulous people like yourself. And I was introduced, well, I was told about your organization through another one of our guests, a local woman, Jennifer Bloom with Haute Portraiture. She's an artist, and she mentioned your group, and I thought, that sounds great. And then here we are.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're lucky that we're able to reach out through the internet now, and we can touch people all over the nation, and now we're up in Canada. So it's wonderful that we have that access.
Wonderful. Well, will you tell us, first off, a little bit about what is D-Cup Saving Teacups and who is D-Cup Saving Teacups?
Okay, well, D-Cup Saving Teacups started out as a bunch of me and some other women that were fundraisers deciding to do more than just fundraise. We decided that we were going to go in and do some investigations on some pet shops that were selling puppy mill dogs. While doing that, we thought that, you know, a more effective way to be helpful would be to stand outside and give people information on where these animals were coming from. And through that, we were standing out there, and a lot of times people aren't nice to you when you're protesting.
Right.
But because we were all dressed nicely and trying to get the message out there, people received us pretty well. And we just came up with this name because all of us were big, busted women that were standing outside one day. Now, that's really just how it came out. And we love the name. We know a lot of people think it's campy and stuff. But you know what? As long as we get the message out about the animals, that's all that we care about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's great. And so what is the structure of your organization? Like, how do you do your work?
Okay, right now our work is focused on shelters that are in this California area and getting animals out and in pet shops that are willing to carry shelter dogs.
Mm-hmm.
We've also been working with groups out of state that are willing to take the dogs, and we've shipped dogs to Montana, New York, Washington State, Nevada, and Park City, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls that I work with are all rescue women. Most of them have their own organizations, but we umbrella them through D-Cup. And if you go to our website, you can go to the page, The Real Women of Rescue, and you'll have all of the information of all the women. We have women that have groups up in Santa Barbara, in San Luis Obispo, in San Diego. And these women and I work together on a daily basis. I'm either on the phone with them or I'm actually meeting with them at shelters, picking up animals and getting those animals into better situations.
Yeah, it just sounds like you have such a well-oiled machine as far as how you are transporting these dogs, relocating them. And the one thing that is just amazing is that you're actually making a connection between rescuing dogs from high-kill shelters and pet stores, which it's like a full circle.
Pet shops have not been well received in the animal community. And, you know, we contributed to that, I must say. Us protesting them and putting many out of business didn't help that relationship. So it took us about a year before we figured out that we need to be on the inside of these pet shops, not on the outside. You know, it's one thing to, you know, try to put somebody out of business, and then it's another thing to try to get someone to reorganize their business. And when we show most of these pet shops what it's like in a shelter, and we actually do, we take the pet shop owners to a shelter near them and show them what's going on. Most of them have never even been to a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these pet shop owners love animals. They wouldn't be in the animal business if they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't realize that they're perpetuating this mass production of puppy mill dogs. And when we show them what they can be doing, we have changed not only their lives, but their businesses and the lives of thousands of animals. So it's been so rewarding.
Yeah. It's such a smart approach, and it's obviously, you know, the proof is in the pudding, and that you're, you know, the work that you're doing is just amazing. So, it's 'cause the problem is not the root of it all is the puppy mills themselves and the existence of them. And, you know, I had a client recently. I was working with a client because they had just gotten a dog that was 6 months old, was a labradoodle, and which is a lab poodle cross. And she said, well, you know, she was just sort of describing the behaviors of her dog. And they had just gotten him at 6 months old. And he was just really very, very skittish and reactive. And he grew up or was the breeder was in Eastern Washington, I think, 5 acres. And it seems that and they had 40 dogs or something like that, 40 or 50 dogs. And it didn't seem like the dog had ever left the property. And then this breeder goes and ships the dog to Seattle. The dog had never been on leash. And it's like, who are these breeders that are just totally setting everybody up for failure or making everybody's experience so much harder than it needs to be because they're not socializing the dogs and, you know, getting them used to novelty and different noises and all that type of stuff. But what was interesting to me was that my client, when I was asking them where they got the dog, well, it wasn't a puppy mill type situation, but, you know, and they went on to sort of describe the situation. And to me, it was definitely questionable. And the term puppy mill seems like an umbrella. I think people think of like a factory farm in Missouri, but there's a lot of online breeders that I think probably fall under that category as well.
I agree with you. I so agree with you. I think that the misconception for most people that are out there looking to purchase an animal and they want to buy it from a well-known or a good breeder, they think that the internet is the best source of doing so. They think that it's regulated. They don't understand that, like, this dog that you're talking about, a Labradoodle, you wouldn't think a Labradoodle was mass-produced, but I've got to tell you, if 40 animals are on a property, that's mass-produced. If there's a mama and a papa and one litter of puppies every 6 months, I can almost live with that, even though I don't like that because I know that they were putting Labradoodles to sleep in our shelters, but I could be okay with that. But in this particular instance, it sounds to me like this is just a great way to sell your dogs online, and people, you know, are not calling you a puppy mill because, you know, you're doing it in a different, there's a different approach to the way that you're doing it.
Right, and it's not at a pet store. You know, people
exactly.
are thinking, oh.
But the new pet store is online. I, in the past 6 months, have gotten more calls about complaints of people buying dogs online than I have about people buying them at pet shops.
Yeah. And they can say anything. Anybody can make a beautiful website and say that it's a family operation. And by the way, a lot of the puppy mills, like hundreds of dogs, you know, horrible situations, were technically family-run organizations. You know, it was like a mother-daughter thing, and they had, you know, 400 dogs. And, you know, I mean, it's like you just have to be so careful. And I say, you know, try to rescue first. Find an organization that does rescue work. Get a referral from someone. And if you're going through a breeder, go there in person. You got to
exactly.
check it out.
If you really want a purebred dog, there's a great way to approach that. There's, you know, plenty of professionals that can help you do that and get you to the right sources. I mean, even Oprah Winfrey, she worked with Tamar Geller, who's a friend of mine and an animal trainer, and she took her to the backyard of the dogs that she wanted to get. So, you know, there are ways to do it, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yep. Kim, we have a caller who has a question for you. We have Tina in Bellevue on line one. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Julie.
Do you have a question for Kim?
Yes, I do.
Go for
it.
Hi,
Kim. Hi. Your efforts are very impressive. Thank you so much for caring about dogs so much as you do. But I do have a question. Are there any statistics available, or have there been any surveys or anything to let people like me sort of get an idea if the effect that all of this, you know, all of our awareness of puppy mills and how bad they are and everything, has there been a decrease in the puppy mill usage or populations that they have or any of the mm-hmm. companies that may have closed or anything due to this mm-hmm. new awareness of ours, or certainly to me?
Well, I must tell you, that's a great question because, you know, in the past few years, it has never been more publicized, especially because Oprah did a show on it, too, and the Humane Society is doing lots of legislative things out of Missouri. But there is no documented statistics that we're seeing in writing. But I can tell you from my own experience personally, it's a lot easier out there on the streets to get people to listen to my message. And that tells me that, you know, the awareness level is up. But our problems are that we're, like we were just saying, we're dealing with the new way of selling dogs, which is online. And we're also dealing with the economy, and we're seeing lots of animals, you know, purebred animals that are being dumped into our shelter system. And most people don't realize that 37% of the dogs in animal shelters in America are purebred. Mm-hmm. And they can go to the shelter and possibly find the dog they're looking for, a purebred dog, there first before they need to go anywhere else.
Right. Well, thank you again for all your efforts. I'm very impressed. And, Julie, I love your program. I love listening to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a great question. You know, you wonder how much, you know, from 20 years ago is, you know, how many pet stores. I remember when I was little, there used to be pet stores in the malls, and you don't see the, and as a kid, I used to want to go see the puppies. You know, little
well, you know,
did I know.
Is a much more progressive and a much more thoughtful area. You'd think California would be that way, but Julie, we're not. We're terrible here. I mean, every mall you go into in California has a pet shop selling mill dogs from Missouri. Mm. And it's just despicable to me that in this day and age that, you know, the people that own those malls need to be more responsible. If they're animal lovers or care about issues that affect the world, they should you know, look at who they're renting to, and unfortunately, they don't. So,
yeah.
And by the way, it's hard to protest a store that is in a mall because legally they can throw you out because the mall is considered private property.
Mm-hmm.
And thrown out of many a mall, but there is a new way that we're telling people if you do see a pet shop in a mall that's doing this kind of behavior and selling, you know, animals that clearly are stated they're from a different state, we just go in there like we're customers and talk to the customers. We get in there and we just say, look, you know, if this dog is from another state, you need to really make sure that it is not a puppy mill because more than likely it is. 97% of the dogs sold in pet shops by the Humane Society, and it's a well-quoted number, mm-hmm. are from the puppy mills. So mm-hmm. we tell people that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Kim Sill, founder of D-Cup Saving Teacups. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Pure Air's powerful formula lets you eliminate pet odors safely. It's strong enough to effectively get rid of smells like urine, plus stronger odors like those that can be caused by illness. Pure Air is safe enough to spray directly onto people, animals, or use in the bath or laundry. Pure Air is perfect for dealing with dire situations, refreshing your dog between baths, or just before company comes. Pure Air is the most effective product you can buy to remove stinky pet odors safely. Find it at stores like Mud Bay, McClendon's, and Natural Pet Pantry, or visit their website, pureair.com. That's pure, A-Y-R-E.com. I'm Julie Forbes, host of The Dog Show. Pure Air is the only odor eliminator you'll find in my home. You'll love it.
Wish your dog didn't hate going to the vet? Wish you were welcomed by a team who cared? Jet City Animal Clinic is an enjoyable respite from the same old thing. Dr. Anderson and her team have created a full-service facility that combines veterinary expertise with a comfortable style. Jet City Animal Clinic is located in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood on 12th Avenue across from Seattle U. Bring your crazy questions, odd ideas, and alternative thinking. Jet City Animal Clinic will work with you to keep your furry family members healthy and happy. Traditionally educated with an open mind, call us at 206-329-0253 or email info@jetcityanimalclinic.com to make an appointment. Jet City Animal Clinic, a unique approach to the health care of your urban pet, a local family practice. jetcityanimalclinic.com.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Spread the word. Your favorite shows are on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Show. We're back with Kim Sill, founder of D Cup Saving Teacups. Hi, Kim.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
So I have a question. We've been talking about puppy mills and pet stores and your rescue group and shelter dogs and how you take dogs from high kill shelters and sort of relocate them. And amazingly to me that you can actually relocate them to pet stores who you've sort of converted. So I have a couple questions about that. The first one is, what is your typical reaction from a store owner, and do they know? Are they aware, the owners and managers of the pet stores that are selling these dogs from puppy mills, do they know what they're contributing to and how bad it is?
For the most part, they do not know. Mm. Most of them have not been to a shelter. They have. It's been 20 or 30 years. And it's like a totally new information for them to even grasp. The first time I took one of the owners of a pet shop to a shelter, I did it deliberately because she was, you know, in proximity. She was like 2 miles from this shelter. And yet for 35 years, she'd been in business where she had been importing dogs from Missouri, Idaho, South Dakota, Pennsylvania, and had no idea there was a shelter 2 miles from her. Mm. So when I took her into that shelter, I mean, she just started bawling. I mean, it was she was crying and sobbing. And we left there with 12 senior dogs that were, you know, I was like, this is the wrong dog for you to be picking to put in your shop. You know, senior dogs are tough. You know, if you ask most rescue people, you know, it's like they're the ones that end up living at the facility with you. She didn't care. Her heart went out to those, the ones that she knew, as obvious to any of us that were in there with her that day, were the ones that were going to be put down that night. Mm. And she did. In her behalf, she has rehomed all of those dogs and since then helped me save over 200 dogs in her store and 100 cats. So she became a believer immediately. And believe me, they're all, you know, not all pet shop owners are like that.
Right.
But she was a great success. I had a woman who's been buying backyard breeder dogs for her pet shop for 22 years, and she is in Montecito. And when I took her to a pet shop, she went in. I mean, when I took her to a shelter, she went into the shelter, and she was totally a businesswoman. She said, "Look, I think I can help that one, that one, and that one."
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, within a few days, she had people with those dogs at her shop adopting them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she likes to do, you know, her deal, and she's helped save 65 dogs since last November. So, you know, if we can get these pet shop owners into shelters and show them what the rescue community have known for years, and enlighten them and work with them and help them, and I think we can change the way that Americans get their dogs.
Yeah. And to stop the demand of the puppy mills so that they cease to exist.
Exactly. I mean, it definitely has cut into the supply of what these guys can sell these pet shops. And we've got 8 shops that I personally work with on a daily basis. And it's wonderful to know that every time we get a rescue dog in one of these shops, that's one less dog they're buying from the mill.
Yeah, and one less dog that's getting euthanized in a shelter. So it's like two, it's almost doubled. So how does a pet store, if they're selling puppies for profit, how does it, from a business standpoint, are they able to somehow still make money off of the rescue dogs, or are they sort of kind of just taking that loss and because they're inspired? I mean, from a business standpoint, if they're losing that income, are they able to still get that income if they're using dogs from shelters?
Well, you're right. There's definitely a financial hit here. And what we've had to do is with each shop, depending on, you know, where they're located and how we can get them animals, like in most cases, we'll bring them a list in the morning. We'll either email it to them or have a volunteer go over with a list of the animals that we can pull for them. And we'll take that cost in. We'll pay for the dogs. We'll make sure that the dogs are fixed. And we'll deliver the dogs directly to them. What they have to do is make sure that they abide by our adoption agreements and that they, you know, follow certain, you know, requirements that we have. Mm-hmm. However, they can still only adopt that dog out for about $200 to maybe like $350. Mm-hmm. In most cases, that's nothing compared to what they were making when they were selling the puppy mill dogs, because those can go up to $3,500 depending on the breed.
Oh, it's amazing. I can't believe they're selling.
What we've tried to do with each shop is we have fundraisers. We have, like, we'll create events to help them fundraise and help them create a community within their own shop so that they have people supporting them besides us, because eventually we'd like them to do this on their own. We are giving them the tools, and hopefully they'll be able to sustain this on their own. But when we first take a shop and convert it, we definitely need to be there and help them. I'm working with a shop that I've been with for a year, you know, and I'm still working with them because they need our help, you know. Depending on where the shops are located and the economic situations of the shops, you know, it's definitely, you've got to have passion for this, or believe me, you wouldn't be able to meet the challenges, because there's many, many challenges.
Mm. You know, and what is just so clear to me, which I'm so impressed with how you and the other women who you work with and other, is it all women, all women that you work with?
You know what, it's all women, but we definitely have the support of many men, mm-hmm. our husbands, we call them,
yeah.
that help support our habit, which is, this,
right.
you know, this rescue stuff that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, along the way, we have some honorary D cups. Like, there's a man named Dennis. He works in Camarillo, and he has helped me save over 500 animals. He shows up at all of our transports and helps us load the animals,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's just people like that we bring along with us that have become so dear and so amazing. I mean, we couldn't do this alone, believe
yeah.
me. We need it. We need all the help we can get.
Well, the thing that strikes me, and I just wish that somehow you could get into the government, because this approach, I mean, if you think to oversimplify, if you look at, you know, a lot of people would probably view, like, the pet store, like a lot of people in the rescue world would probably view the pet store people as like the enemy. And with your approach, rather than attacking and coming in and attacking and trying to shut down and, you know, being offensive, you are coming in and, you know, not in all cases, but you're coming in and getting to know these people and coming in with more of an open heart to who they are, and that they are still humans, and, you know, showing them, like, opening their eyes and their hearts to what they're contributing to. And then look at what you are creating out of that is so productive. And you could apply that model in so many different areas with other, I mean, you know, gosh, are this country's relationship with other countries, even opposing sides of any argument within this country. I mean, to take your approach of being open and educating and giving people a chance rather
well,
than just writing them off.
Because,
yeah.
Oh, it is an approach, and it's a non-judgmental approach.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just by accident. Like I said, when we were standing outside of the pet shop, it dawned on me that we should be inside the pet shop. And the only way to get inside is to open the lines of communication and to not be judgmental. And it's amazing. Some of the people that I'm working with now are, you know, had been selling puppy mill dogs for, you know, 50 years, and now we're friends. And I understand where they're coming from. And, you know, we all walk in different shoes, you know, and until you've walked in someone's shoes, we need to let go of of all of that judgment and just be there, because we can help a lot more animals with that approach. And in the past 3 years, we have saved almost 4,000 animals this way. Mm. If we had stayed with the judgmental approach and put people out of business, I'm not sure if you and I would be talking right now, because that didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. You know, this feels right.
Yeah. That's so great. Well, I can't emphasize that enough. And I think that, you know, that model, you know, we could really learn from that in other areas of society and our culture, for sure, both nationally and internationally.
My email address is on the website. Anybody that wants to help a shop in their neighborhood do something, please email me. I'm happy to, you know, walk you through it, send you documents, send you all the information that we use here. We've actually helped people in Colorado and in New York and in Mississippi that have done the same thing that we've done, and in Florida, because, this is a wave. This is the wave of change, and change is happening for animals, and people are standing up for animals and are willing to stand up for them and help them in a productive way like this, and we're happy to help those people do that.
Yeah, and a couple of key things, too. You know, you said opening the lines of communication is totally key. You're also operating from a place of love, not fear or judgment. And I think that's what's really breaking through to people, and where you're able to find the common ground with a lot of people.
True. And most shelters have puppies, which is, you know, the pet shop world doesn't understand that most shelters have puppies. And they think that their business is based on having these cute puppies. And when you take them to a shelter that has puppies and you show them that there are puppies there, you know, they're floored for the most part. They're like, I can't believe that these dogs could survive in this environment.
Yeah.
And I say to them, they won't survive in this environment. We need to get them out. We need to put them in your shop right now. Mm-hmm. We need to get them vaccinated. We need to start them on their meds. I mean, it's like, it's so obvious to these shops when they see those puppies. And that's all, that's really the key for me. If I want to turn a shop, I'll take them to a shelter where I know that there's puppies and they'll.
Well, and if they think the shelter environment's tough, imagine what the environment in a puppy mill is like for a puppy, and all the transportation and all that stuff. I mean, it's just terrible.
Well, we don't see the dogs that are thrown into, you know, bags and just completely disposed of like garbage, because the puppy mills don't have to be accountable for that.
Right.
Unlike the shelters, you know, the shelters have to be accountable for those numbers.
Yeah, the shelters have to be accountable, but the puppy mills certainly don't.
That's right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take another quick break. Kim will be back in just a few minutes with Kim Sill, founder of D-Cup Saving Teacups. You're listening to The Dog Show on Alternative Talk 1150. The Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their 2 stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
Wish your dog didn't hate going to the vet? Wish you were welcomed by a team who cared? Jet City Animal Clinic is an enjoyable respite from the same old thing. Dr. Anderson and her team have created a full-service facility that combines veterinary expertise with a comfortable style. Jet City Animal Clinic is located in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood on 12th Avenue across from Seattle U. Bring your crazy questions, odd ideas, and alternative thinking. Jet City Animal Clinic will work with you to keep your furry family members healthy and happy. Traditionally educated with an open mind, call us at 206-329-0253 or email info@jetcityanimalclinic.com to make an appointment. Jet City Animal Clinic, a unique approach to the health care of your urban pet, a local family practice. jetcityanimalclinic.com.
Hey, Dog Show fans. Does something stink in your home or car? Pure Air is a powerful odor eliminator that is the only natural food-grade product in its category. It works on bedding, kennels, litter boxes, urine, vomit, poop, even skunk spray. You know, all the fun smells our pets bring into our home. It's so non-toxic that you can literally eat it, a requirement for our home and our dogs. Spray Pure Air on anything you can put water on and let your nose watch the odor disappear. Ask for Pure Air in stores that specialize in natural, non-toxic products for home. Or visit dogradioshow.com for a link to their website. I'm Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show. Pure Air is the only odor eliminator you'll find in my home. You'll love it.
Good news, Belgium. We're streamed worldwide at 1150kknw.com. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. We're back with Kim Sill, founder of D-Cup Saving Teacups, a California-based rescue group. Hi, Kim. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So if you have a question for Kim, there is still some time to call in. 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527, or toll-free 888-298-5569. So we've just been having a super, super rich conversation about the work that you do and the keys to why you are effective and how you have managed, in some cases, to actually transform pet store owners in a way so that they now use dogs or offer dogs from shelter situation at their stores rather than buying puppies from puppy mills, which is like a magic. You're a wizard of sorts, and I wish you could be in government.
You know, we definitely need more government officials to understand this problem. Instead of just collecting the tax money that we pay them, some of it should be allocated for programs that could actually get the shelters themselves to do what we're doing. Then yeah. We wouldn't have to do it. I have been having meetings here with the people in Los Angeles City Services about this very thing. They've gone to some of the pet shops and looked at what we've done, and now they're considering rewriting some bills that could actually help their government funnel some of these animals for us so that we can focus on other areas so that they would be doing what we're doing effectively with the animals that they have. And it hopefully it'll be receptive, and hopefully the next time we talk I'll have some good news for you on that.
Yeah. So do you have dogs yourself?
Oh yes, I have a pack of five. Uh-huh. I have a Malamute, a Husky, a Chow, a Tibetan Spaniel, and a Palmchi. And my friend Cesar Milan came to my house one day because he heard that I wasn't doing so well. And he came in and he helped me, you know, kind of organize my pack so that I can actually now not have so many problems.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of my favorite things when I'm not on the radio show. I do training and behavior work here in Seattle. And I love working with people with multiple dogs. I love seeing the dynamic, you know, getting a sense for the dynamic between each one and kind of figuring out where there may need to be adjustments made so that everyone is a little more harmonious. But it's,
you know, the harmony thing, it can be so easy if you are like you and you understand the dynamics. But, you know, there's a lot of people like me who just emotionalize these animals and hug them and grab them and do all the wrong things. And, you know, even though I know better, I still do it.
Yeah.
And I have to really keep a check on myself on that one.
Yeah, I have to. I mean, I always tell my clients it's much easier to train other people's dogs than it is your own. And, you know, our dogs are all, you know, well trained and well behaved. But I also notice, you know, there's times when I just want to melt into a puddle on the floor over all of them because they're so cute. And I don't always want to follow through because I'm human. You know, so I have an appreciation for that as well. So you have an event coming up October 16th, and I'm assuming this is in California.
It's in California, but you can certainly go to our website and help us, because what this event is going to do is our champagne and tiara party. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to raise money for what we call a rescue rig. We are buying a converted ambulance so that we can ship 80 dogs a week out of the San Bernardino City shelter to rescue groups in Montana and in Utah and in Northwest Washington, because we have groups willing to take specific breed dogs like Chihuahuas and Malteses. And, and we, unfortunately, down here at this shelter in San Bernardino, get so many of those.
Yeah.
Our fundraiser, the tickets are $50, and for $50, we can ship one dog. And so not only will we'll be raising money for the rescuer, but we're also auctioning off a diamond bracelet.
Wow.
We're only selling 40 tickets, raffle tickets for that. So you have a good chance of winning that bracelet if you buy one ticket, which saves one dog.
Wow. And is that something that somebody can do, you know, in another part of the country? Even though
if they can't attend,
but maybe sponsor a dog?
You could definitely sponsor a dog, and we'll even send you the photos. We do videos of every single transport, and if you go to our website, there are links to all of the transport videos, and you'll see, you know, the dogs being, whether they're put into the plane or into a converted RV or a van. You actually see the journey of what's happening with these animals, and you actually get to hear the shelter workers, too. The shelter workers, you know, it's just amazing to hear them speak about giving them hope, because they have so little hope. They see so little happy endings.
Yeah.
And when they see these dogs going out and knowing that they're going to loving rescues, they're just so overwhelmed with joy. It's wonderful.
They need help. They really do. And I, with the, you know, another problem with the or impact of the economy and budget cuts in the cities, I know that we've been feeling that here has been cutbacks on funding for animal control officers and shelters and you know, been at risk of some of our local shelters being shut down. And it's like, there's not, you know, we need places for these animals to go, and we need the staff and the funds and, you know, all this stuff. And they just, they so need help. I was thinking a great way to donate to the city would be to support either the shelter or the animal control officers who are out on the, you know, out responding to calls of neglect and abuse and all that type of stuff. They need the, they need more people.
You're so right. And we need to reach out to those people, because as you said, they are cutting back on staff. They're cutting back on the funding to these shelters, and the animals are the ones that pay, but the workers are the ones that are literally having to see this day in and day out and are forced to have to euthanize more animals because of
it. Yeah. So your website is decupssavingteacups.com, and I'll have that posted on the Dog Talk Show homepage as well. And where do people go to watch the videos and all that good stuff? Would that be under the media section? Or
yes, you can go into the media section, or you can just go to YouTube and go to our D-Cup Saving Teacups YouTube channel.
Oh, great. Okay.
And we've got 60 videos that literally document the whole journey that I've just told you about, from us when we were protesting, from when we actually videotaped many of the pet shop owners going into shelters with us. So you can look at that. It's all there.
Great. Well, Kim, so wonderful to have you on the show and to share your wisdom of what you do and what you found to be successful in a very touchy, difficult arena. You know, bridging the shelters and the pet stores is just amazing. I can't thank you enough for your work, and I hope that enough people learn from you and contact you in their areas so that more people around the country are doing this.
Well, thank you, Julie. I appreciate what you do, too, and helping us get the word out.
Yeah, my pleasure.
When you're down here, I'll take you out for some tea.
That sounds good.
Okay.
I'll definitely get in touch if I'm in, is it Southern California? Where are you?
I'm in Beverly Hills.
Oh, Beverly Hills. All right. Well, next, I've never been, so.
Oh, well, then please, I'll take you to dinner. We'll go Mr. Chow.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much, Kim, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Sweet. I've never been to Beverly Hills.
Or Mr. Chow's, I'm guessing.
Or Mr. Chow's, yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Gosh, I am so impressed by her and the organization and the people in that organization.
Definitely doing
such a
good
great
work.
Approach, yep.
And while you were doing the interview, I was checking out the website, and it looks really good.
Yes, excellent. Decupsavingteacups.com. I'll have that posted on the Dog Talk Show website. All of our past shows are archived on the radio show website, which is dogradioshow.com. We also have a Facebook page, The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, and find us on Facebook. You can be a part of the conversation in between shows and just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Facebook. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. live. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150. Pure Air's powerful formula lets you eliminate pet odors safely. It's strong enough to effectively get rid of smells like urine, plus stronger odors like those that can be caused by illness. Pure Air is safe enough to spray directly onto people, animals, or use in the bath or laundry. Pure Air is perfect for dealing with dire situations, refreshing your dog between baths, or just before company comes. Pure Air is the most effective product you can buy to remove stinky pet odors safely. Find it at stores like Mud Bay, McClendon's, and Natural Pet Pantry, or visit their website, pureair.com. That's pure, A-Y-R-E.com. I'm Julie Forbes, host of The Dog Show. Pure Air is the only odor eliminator you'll find in my home. You'll love it. The Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their 2 stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
Wish your dog didn't hate going to the vet? Wish you were welcomed by a team who cared? Jet City Animal Clinic is an enjoyable respite from the same old thing. Dr. Anderson and her team have created a full-service facility that combines veterinary expertise with a comfortable style. Jet City Animal Clinic is located in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood on 12th Avenue across from Seattle U. Bring your crazy questions, odd ideas, and alternative thinking. Jet City Animal Clinic will work with you to keep your furry family members healthy and happy. Traditionally educated with an open mind, call us at 206-329-0253 or email info@jetcityanimalclinic.com to make an appointment. Jet City Animal Clinic, a unique approach to the health care of your urban pet, a local family practice. JetCityAnimalClinic.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, October 5th, our favorites, adventure travelers Helen and Bill Thayer. They've traveled the world on unbelievable journeys. Helen's written 3 great books and soon will release number 4. She's created the Adventure Classroom, motivating and educating our kids, and this time they've asked to bring along a special guest. Join us to find out who. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 11.